We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
How to win $500,000 in the FFPC main event. That's what we're talking about this week on Stealing Bananas. We already did the $500,000 show for the Football Guys Championship, so we're counting our first million here, Sean. I'm Ben Gretsch. You can find me on Twitter at @GretschPerGretsch. Find my Substack at bengretsch.substack.com. Joined as always by Sean Siegel, who you can find at RotoViz. Writing all the wide receiver breakout articles now. Obviously, the zero RB targets are out there. Everything you need to know. Sean, you excited about yet another draft from the 9 position?
I am. This will be number 4, right? So, I mean, with experience should come competency, right? We have a pick that's close to what we had in the FBG. So if we want to take some of the same players and kind of make sure we do get that full million, we can do that today, Ben. Or we can diversify a little bit. One of the things that we hope is fun about this show, we're going to obviously go into a lot of depth on the players that we're considering. And so it'll give you an inside look at our board, which you can then take for your big drafts this weekend, next week. Obviously, these next 5-6 days, Ben, are the most fun days in all of fantasy football. We have a couple more days before the game start and prove that we were incorrect on things. And so we have this little bit of a honeymoon period here, and just drafting is the most fun. So we're looking forward to this. Also, we're going to be requiring the person who sort of wins the argument for the guy at the spot to make the case for why that player will be the reason that we win the $500,000. So Ben, you're going to have some of your bold predictions ready. Are you feeling pretty feisty in terms of the guys that we're going to take here?
Well, it's funny. We're drafting this at 10 a.m. my time. You know, usually I'm a little feisty in the evenings when I've had maybe a drink or two. I'm not going to be drinking during this broadcast. So we'll see how feisty I can get. I'm a little bit more subdued in the morning, you know, just generally speaking. Only a little bit.
We did have a lot of fun the other night with the ship chasing guys. So we have the same slot. We could end up with a very similar draft, or we could end up with one that's quite a bit different.
And we are underway now, Sean. The first few picks are off the board, sort of what you'd expect. McCaffrey, Kelsey, Cook, Kamara. 105 is on the clock. We're at 109. What are we thinking at this first turn? Same as always.
Same as always, right. We're looking at these three wide receivers. We have Devontae Adams, Tyreek Hill, Stephon Diggs. Darren Waller becomes interesting, Ben. Every draft, if you're drafting out of the back half, there is this question. Do you want Waller? Do you want Kittle? Do you want Hockenson? In order to compete with the teams who get to have these top running backs or Travis Kelce, you almost have to have one of those three tight ends just to have something that could tilt the playing field back in your direction.
Or I suppose we could throw Kyle Pitts in there too, if you wanted to. But yes, I completely agree. If you wanted to buy that Kyle Pitts is going to be absolutely phenomenal as a rookie, I think you could throw him in there as well. But
yeah, and he's not necessarily coming back to the 309,
right?
But he does occasionally. He is a little bit more kind of that team that's the 4-7 range in terms of draft slot. He makes a lot of sense for those teams. Ben, I've got a couple of Tyreek Hill, one Stephon Diggs now in the main events. Do you have a preference between these two? Obviously, you've got the great yards per Gretsch segment where you say Stephon Diggs is going to be the wide receiver one this season. Tyreek Hill, the kind of guy who can have those mega performances down the stretch to win the whole thing. Now we know Stephon Diggs, I mean, like 30 points a game in the fantasy playoffs last year. He can obviously do it. Both of these guys have the potential to do it wide receiver. What people are tending to think about in terms of exclusively running backs. Do you have a preference? Both guys are here. Derrick Henry goes at the 108.
I like Hill. You and I talked a little bit about it, and certainly his single week upside in this format, you basically get three shots at Tyreek Hill putting a 50-point week on the board. Also, for me, I have three shares of Stephon Diggs and no Tyreek Hill in the main event right now. So I lean Hill.
Okay.
But I can always do more Diggs.
We're going to go Hill. This one, we're not going to get anywhere close to timing out. That obviously gives you a good feeling starting out in round one, not taking it down to the last 5 seconds. Ben, you now need to make a bold prediction about how he is going to do what he just suggested that he could do.
Yeah, that's super easy. I mean, go back and look at the Tampa Bay game during the regular season last year, not the Super Bowl. Had over 200 yards and multiple touchdowns in the first quarter. He ended up with just a ridiculous line, something like 13 for 270 and three TDs. All he really has to do is have one of those types of Tyreek Hill explosions, and that's I think probably his biggest game of his career, but not his only explosion. He does that one time in weeks 15 to 17, and we're in that contest. He's the must-have player. He's the player at the back of the first round that can compete with a legendary, you know, running back performance in the front of the first round. Nobody's going to be able to stack both those players on a roster. And so now we have this player at the back of the first round. The bold prediction is who scored 100 points over, and I would say 110 over those 3 weeks.
110 would be fantastic. And I do think that is possible. They have the Bengals in week 17, which is a game that we'll likely be targeting later in our draft, kind of put those two teams together, see if they can get up to that kind of Chiefs-Rams game that we saw several years ago where both teams finished in the 40s. Ben, we've gotten to the end of round one here, and Stephon Diggs has not gone. So there's at least that slight, tiny little chance that he could come back to us. I think that would be an absolute home run if he did. The running backs were still available. Saquon Barkley, Najee Harris. We talked about Harris for quite a while after the show the other night with Pat Corain, trying to figure out if he has this legendary upside. I kind of went back and looked at some of these rookie running backs in the past. Sort of after that conversation, we'll have an article out on the site this weekend, sort of looking at Harris. We do have some guys who have done it in the past with a Saquon Barkley, with an Ezekiel Elliott. Now, Elliott did it on a ton of efficiency there, and I don't think that Harris really has that path. We have someone like Trent Richardson who actually had the profile and underperformed, still scored 17 points per game. It's kind of a weird deal here where I've been saying Najee Harris could be Trent Richardson, but if he actually is Trent Richardson as a rookie, he would do exactly what you need in this spot.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think with all the other question marks, it's certainly become more appealing, especially the way Pittsburgh has used their lead backs in the past. The fact that they cut Jalen Samuels, very kind of small thing. They didn't use him a ton last year, but just more indication that Najee's going to play on passing downs. Anthony McFarland to IR. You have Benny Snell and Kalen Ballages as two direct backups. Snell's not a passing down player. Kalen Ballages is just not good. So Saquon Barkley goes here, one pick before us. Diggs does go off the board. I'm comfortable with it, Sean.
Yeah, for me, this is Harris or Justin Jefferson. We do have a little bit of that question of, you know, is Kirk Cousins going to miss 3-4 weeks and really torpedo the upside there? Jefferson also with some more ceiling now that Irv Smith is out, and Jefferson's ceiling already through the roof. You kind of have a preference structurally on how you'd like to go?
I think I like Harris. I think I like Harris from a structural perspective because there are a lot of receiver bets that we want to make in rounds 4, 5, 6, 7. We could go 0 RB. I've done that in a number of these, but I don't mind getting sort of the anchor running back and then going that way. It gives us a lot of flexibility to really punt off running back into the later rounds and just trust that Harris is going to get all the touches. He's going to be a stable producer. Yeah. So I think, you know, it's 10 a.m. I'm feeling a little frisky. So what is your bold prediction for Najee Harris?
Exactly what I like to hear there. Yes. So I kind of floated Harris. We went that direction. I'm going to say that he is going to average 18 expected points per game. In the projections that I have that I will kind of put with this article about who to target at running back in rounds one and two, who to avoid, what profiles we're looking at. I have him projected to go under on fantasy points over expectation. So to actually hit down to that 17 point per game range instead of where he is on EP. But for this, to win the $500,000, we're going to say that he actually breaks some of these runs. Now, one of the things we talked about with Pat is that Dave Caban, the breakaway rush score, it shows that despite the athleticism for Harris, he was not the guy creating these big runs, especially when you consider Alabama's front and their overall offense. That's a pretty big red flag. And when you consider the Steelers' offensive line, it doesn't seem like a great fit. But I think that Najee Harris is going to go out there now with the situation they have. Ben Roethlisberger maybe a little bit less than he was in terms of the arm strength and the ability to push the ball down the field. They are going to move the ball. They are going to score touchdowns. Harris is going to be the beneficiary of that. But I think he's going to be the number four back in total receptions behind CMC, Kamara, and Austin Eckler. I think he's going to press to closer to that group maybe than the group behind him. And he's going to have 3 7-plus reception games in the 3 weeks. And that third one will push us to the half million.
Love it. And to be clear, when you're saying you think these things, you think these things within the context of what we're doing for the show, which is that for every pick, we're going to give a bold prediction, what we think the sort of upside scenario is for the player. You don't actually think that Najee Harris is certainly going to be fourth in running back receptions, but it is a very feasible outcome. That's the big thing that we're both sort of locking onto lately. You have emphasized very, very well and very strongly that these really high upside running back seasons come through expected points profiles that look a little bit more balance on the rushing and receiving side. If Harris is inefficient on what are essentially low-value touches, which is the way that I like to look at it, this high-value touch concept, but he's getting plenty of high-value touches, there is still upside. And so you're saying he's going to have a ton of expected points, he's going to have a ton of receptions. That is very valuable. Still probably not our favorite pick, but, you know, when you've picked in the nine hole 1,700 times, then you got to get a running back that has the potential to catch 70 passes at least once.
We do. And the next couple of picks were DeAndre Hopkins, DK Metcalf. Kittle goes off in the middle to the drafter who had Darren Waller. So there's going to be a little bit more tight end constriction even than normal. Kyle Pitts at the 301. So the tight ends going early. Ben, that raises an early red flag for us, or a warning sign, a danger flashing here. Hockenson is our pick in round three. He's going in early round four in the last 72 hours, according to ADP, but now I'm terrified he's not going to make it back.
Yeah, we're still six picks away. You mentioned Pitts went off at 301, and you mentioned that one drafter has already taken two tight ends, and so I share your fear. CeeDee Lamb goes, he had come around the turn, and he goes at 303. Most of the running backs are gone that we see go here. Clyde Edwards-Helaire goes now. The last that I have in this tier is DeAndre Swift, but he's been falling quite a bit. We have to hope for somebody to come grab, you know, Chris Carson and James Robinson and David Montgomery and all of those things.
And we need some guys to maybe take an Allen Robinson, a Robert Woods, and a Mark
Patrick Cooper. Mahomes. Yeah, Patrick Mahomes is a helpful pick.
That is. That will move some of the guys down. And Allen Robinson does go.
We are two picks away now. And the Mahomes and Robinson pick are the ones that we were sort of hoping for. Now it's possible. McLaurin is still there.
Yeah, and McLaurin is somebody I've said I want, but that there's a very tiny, tiny little range where you can actually
Chris
get it.
Chris Carson goes. Now it's feeling...
Oh, yeah. It's going to be either McLaurin or Hockenson here, so we're safe. Yeah.
We're very comfortable. Now, McLaurin at 309 would be very nice. I think a strong chance he goes here, though, at 308, which would give us our target Hockenson. That was a very nice run out in the middle of the third round, with Mahomes, Robinson, and Carson all going off the board, none of whom are going to be big targets for us.
Do you have a preference here? I mean, McLaurin would be a very exciting pick at the 309.
I just want to take a second to thank you for tuning in to today's show. My name is Colin Kelly, co-host of the Road of His Overtime podcast, along with the great Sean Siegel. We do appreciate each and every listener, and as a thank you to each of you, you can get yourself a 10% discount to a Road of His NFL pass. We're heading at full speed towards the season. Make sure you're ready. Get yourself access to all the content and tools up on the Road of His website. All you have to do is add the code RVRadio2021 at checkout to get yourself that 10% discount. Now let's go and dominate those fantasy leagues in 2021.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I'm there. Yeah, I still have McLaurin even ahead of DJ Moore, who I'm aggressively high on and have, I think, in every main so far, and almost want when James Robinson goes off the board. So we do have our choice. Oh, that's interesting. So Waller went at the none of the guys behind us have tight ends.
Yeah, he's not going to make it.
He's not going to make it back. But
we need to be doing this live and saying Hockenson, he's hurt. You can't afford to draft him. There's just no way. And he's got to fall into the middle of round four.
I am very much on board with taking Terry McLaurin here.
So Ben, we're going to take McLaurin. Tell us why his profile is a guy where he actually should be in round two and will help us win the $500,000.
Well, there's a little bit of concern with the targets per out run, my favorite stat. He hasn't generated a ton of targets per out run, but he runs an insane amount of routes. He's a clear number one. Obviously, Ryan Fitzpatrick is a boost to the entire passing game. Ryan Fitzpatrick's receivers have been very profitable, so to speak, in fantasy in recent years. I think the positive note or the positive upside spin from McLaurin maybe is that because there are a few more targets here, he gets a little bit more freedom. He becomes Ryan Fitzpatrick's favorite option, gets a little bit more one-on-one coverage is sort of what I'm saying. And suddenly his targets per out run does, you know, have some room to go up. Suddenly it bumps up a little bit, but he continues to run tons of routes, continues to be very good at bringing in balls and generating yards once the target is earned. And suddenly he's looking like a superstar. That wasn't a very good hot take. But
well,
he's boring, boring profile to try to hot take. Washington wins 12 games and Terry McLaurin scores 12 touchdowns. There's my bull take.
Like that will definitely work for us. So, you know, I've been saying that Fitzpatrick is going to be a top 10 QB. If that were to happen, then we would be in great shape with McLaurin. He's somebody who is consistently, or over the last two seasons, has kind of been underperforming his air yards profile. And people can get, you know, overly enthusiastic with that element of it. It can be a thing that actually torpedoes a receiver, like we saw from, you know, DJ Moore last season. And yet, at the same time, if you look at the last 2 years, Terry McLaurin, one of the very top guys in terms of not only overall air yards, but percentage of his team air yards. He was third last year. I think he was in that same position a season ago. The two guys, okay. We're going to need to pick.
Four picks have come off, and none of them have been TJ Hockenson.
None of them Hockenson.
DeAndre Swift did go. David Montgomery went. Amari Cooper went. Robert Woods went. How excited are you right now?
Well, Ben, we're finally doing a draft where it's not exclusively people drafting for Amari. No, it is fun to have some people in here who maybe have a different approach. It doesn't mean that they're wrong, but it does make it so that we can get some of our guys. Terry McLaurin going to pay off those air yards. Last season, the guy ahead of him in terms of team percentage, Calvin Ridley, obviously he was a smash winning pick. Yeah, we're two picks away here. The guys that we have, and Ben, we talked about this a little bit before the show, we definitely are looking at TJ Hockenson, but DJ Moore, almost 100% on, right? We're looking at T. Higgins if Hockenson is gone.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm very excited to get T. Higgins if Hockenson goes. We're now one pick away. Javonte Williams just went at the 402. That's the highest I think I've seen him go. And this drafter didn't snap up Hockenson right away. They're running the clock a little. So maybe we will have an opportunity to grab him here. Do not have T. Higgins in a main event yet. I would really like to get him, even if it means taking him over DJ Moore, who I've been drafting over Higgins, just to get a little bit of diversification. We talked about that a little bit before, and that has been our target here at 404. But Hockenson was our target at 309. I mean, there's also this, oh, and he is available. Josh Allen goes off the board. I think we have to take Hockenson, right? We get this opportunity for a very unique build as well, because I don't think there's going to be a lot of teams that have McLaurin and Hockenson on the same roster.
No, they're definitely not. And Hockenson allows us here to have that tight end who could challenge the superstars in targets. Now, we don't expect him to be as efficient with Jared Goff with the defensive attention, and yet he was so good before this injury that kind of derailed his buzz. I mean, I think that the only reason that he's anywhere close to this range is that he did have to miss some practices, and that kept people quiet on just how ridiculously dominant he had been in Detroit's training camp. You look at his profile coming into college. I'm going to go ahead and pick him here.
Yeah. The clock's running down. You're scaring me just a little bit.
No, we had 17 seconds. We're in the clear, but I did want to click on it. Yeah, you have Hockenson with the profile coming in. You have the sort of little jump that he made last year. You have this year three potential explosion for Hockenson. Ben, Hockenson is going to lead the NFL in tight end targets. He's going to be neutral in efficiency, and he's going to come in closer to Kelce and Waller than he comes to the tight end six, right? So we're essentially saying we have this tier of five. He's going to be kind of up there. The thing that we have had happen last season, it was Kelce, Waller, and then this gap that was just insane. He's going to be closer to the top guys than the bottom guys, which at this price, as opposed to a round one price, is going to make him an absolute slam dunk league winner.
It's going to make him a smash. I mean, and that's something we talked about. I think the reception side in tenant premium is an easy way to talk about this. Kelce and Waller had 105 and 107 catches last year. The next highest at the tight end position was 72. Then it was Hockenson, and that was Logan Thomas. Hockenson was in fourth at 67. So that's how big that gap was. Kelce and Waller both had a 30 catch gap over every other tight end. And you're talking about it was actually more than 32 catches. Talk about over 16 games. 32 catches is two catches a game in tight end premium. That's 3 points per game, or it's at least an additional point if you're only talking about tight end premium versus PPR. Regardless, the two receptions, not even considering the yards, not even considering the additional production that comes with that, that gap was so large. And then what you're saying is that Hockenson is going to settle in that gap, and he's going to be not only in that gap but closer to those elite players than the rest of the field. I love it. That's what I'm expecting as well. I don't even think that's a hot take.
Well, Ben, now through four rounds, we have Tyreek Hill, Najee Harris, Terry McLaurin, TJ Hockenson. If there's a little bit of sad news, T. Higgins does go at the 410, DJ Moore at the 411. It would have been basically impossible for them to come back around, but we've seen some crazy things in this draft. You will have unusual things happen in some given drafts. ADP is pretty clear in these early rounds, but that doesn't mean a miracle won't happen. That kind of thing isn't going to happen here, but there are some people in round five who do hold some pizzazz, could still make it a fun pick.
Yeah, absolutely. When we were taking Hockenson and talking about Higgins, there was that small thought in the back of our minds, obviously, that, you know, T. Higgins has made it back before. But then there's the other player we were just talking about before the show that you would really like to get some exposure to. I do already have on one roster, but he is an upside receiver that you're going to give the bull case for if we pick.
And it would, he's going at 507 lately, and he is still there. So we are now at 503. A number of receivers have gone off. In fact, since our Hawkinson pick, Andrews went, but the other 3, 6, 9 picks have all been wide receiver. It's Mike Evans, Cooper Kupp, Chris Godwin, Tyler Lockett, T. Higgins, DJ Moore, Julio Jones, Adam Thielen, Deontay Johnson, and then another receiver goes, the guy that I was just alluding to. It's Jerry Jeudy going at 503. So, Sean, that's a little bit rough because we started with an early running back and an early tight end. We've now seen 10 out of 11 picks go wide receiver, and it is really thinning out that position, which we really want to be targeting here.
So I think I have to ask you then about Brandon Ayuk. He's someone I haven't been drafting because I think you have to get that exposure through Deebo Samuel. I think the scenarios for them are really fairly close together, even though Ayuk, the guy who probably can emerge as the superstar, I think that in some ways is more relevant in 2022. But, you know, maybe Lance comes out and can do it all right away. We debated this a little bit with the ship-chasing guys. On San Francisco, do you think there's going to be enough pass volume to get exposure to these guys? I mean, if Ayuk falls through here, we're kind of looking at Ayuk, perhaps a Chase Claypool, or, you know, compromise picks at running back, or maybe getting other.
Are you out on Jamar Chase?
Not necessarily out. It is a situation where Tyler Boyd also appealing, a little bit less expensive, but the 509 gets to be a little bit tricky here. So Ayuk goes. We don't have to debate that one. It's looking like Chase and Claypool. Do you think that the second-year guy is the clear advantage in terms of sort of overall upside?
There's a lot to like in Claypool's upside profile, certainly. You know, his snaps being cut a little bit down the stretch last year was concerning. We do already have this Najee Harris pick that is at least a little bit, in my mind, of a bet on Pittsburgh's offense being reasonably decent, on Ben Roethlisberger not being completely dust. And I think in that regard, I actually like sort of the idea of pairing the two. Because if Pittsburgh's offense is at least, you know, mediocre or potentially above average, I mean, if they're really, really bad, then Najee Harris is not a good pick at 203 or 204. So that does make me lean, I think, a little bit more towards Claypool, even though I think some people would think opposite, that because you have Harris, you don't want the receiver. I think the two of them pair well together, personally. What do you think about that?
I think it's going to give us some weekly floor, which is nice in this type of a league. I mean, we're not trying to maximize individual weeks. We want the overall scoring to work, and we do want a tiny little bit of consistency. I think we've made a little bit of a bet against Roethlisberger's arm with the dump-offs to Harris, but at the same time, that doesn't mean that Claypool couldn't also break out. Do you have one of the two players you want more exposure to? We talked about getting a little bit of the Bengals to kind of go with this Chiefs play early. Chase isn't the last guy, but
I would be totally fine with that. I actually like that a lot. And I have Chase ranked higher than Claypool. I'm good with either. And that Ben Roethlisberger arm point, I think, is a very good one as well. Who'd you click? Chase. Good. Yeah, I like that. And we could take Boyd still. To your point about the Tyreek Hill thing, this is probably something that should have been mentioned in the hot take, but the Chiefs have a very nice playoff schedule, and one of those games, the final week, is against the Bengals. It could be an absolute shootout. We're kind of already betting on that. We're betting on Tyreek Hill having this massive game. And so in that regard, we're also betting on the Bengals being this really fun pass offense that generates a ton of points. It would be really nice to have a player on the opposite side of that in sort of the DFS perspective. It's a really nice pick to have that pairing.
Ben, you switched us to Chase at the end. I loved it. It feels like your hot take now has got to be along the lines of, despite the slow start in training camp, Chase emerges down the stretch and threatens his former college teammates' rookie receiving records.
Yeah, I think you just gave it. I think you just gave the hot take. Good work. That was impressive.
So everyone, stay tuned for episode 2. We'll continue to take you through this draft. We'll see who we get at round 6. It's going to be a very controversial selection. We may reach by more than a round here. So I'm Sean Siegel, and with me is Ben Gretsch, whom you can follow at Yards Per Gretsch. Make sure you check out Stealing Signals. This is the time to have your subscription to the best fantasy newsletter in the industry. Week 1, week 2, you've got to find out what the signal, what the noise, how you have to approach waivers to win your league in those first couple of weeks. Make sure you subscribe now. We're doing a fantastic work over at RotoViz. Dave, Curtis, Blair and the gang, Matt Spencer, a lot of cool stuff. We've got a bunch of new writers. If you haven't been reading them, make sure you check them out. The tools, as ever, are worth the price of admission. If you want to get a discount on that, you can enter the code RVRadio2021 at discount. You'll get 10% off. Please subscribe to our feed, Seedling Bananas. You guys have been doing that. It's been absolutely amazing. We love sharing the show with you. You'll get it as soon as it releases by having that subscription. And if you can, leave us a rating and review. You guys have done an amazing job there. We appreciate all of the fantastic feedback. The community has been great. We're looking forward to the in season with you. Our shows coming up should be a lot of fun. And as you go through this last week, the best week in fantasy, enjoy, draft well, good luck. We'll talk to you soon.